The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, y'all? We are back. Another edition of No Bets Barred. This time, UFC Apex 86. Jack Hermanson taking on B. Joe Pyfer. Is that his official nickname? B? Question, you know, in the quotations, B. Joe Pyfer.
It's a way better nickname than Body Bags with a Z.
Body Bags, yeah, I don't love the Z, but the Body Z. Bags ain't bad.
Body Bags would be fine if it was just because, you know, it's not like there are a ton of those. But with the Z, it's like, what is this? Some early 2000s. Joe, you weren't old enough to do the Z thing, Joe Pyfer. You're 20. You're a young man. That's for the older heads. Can't be doing that nonsense here.
I mean, he does collect body bags, though. 12 professional wins, 11 of them coming by way of finish. So he has no bones about getting a finish. Another Apex card.
The March to 100.
The March to 100, this 86. We will be at 90 as we enter UFC 300.
Serious question. Do you think they're going to make UFC Apex 100 like a bigger event?
What I actually hate is that they are going to make it the most ho-hum event of all time.
But that's fitting.
Like, that is fitting. But for real ones, for the real ones out there, we will recognize what it is, and we'll celebrate, and proper
right,
proper celebrations will be put in order. This card, you know, it's not exactly the best card on earth, but there's some fights that have potential to be really fun. There are definitely some fights out here that can get fun.
I will say this about this card: it's better than last week's. It's better. I'm gonna shoot you straight.
Shoot
still
it.
Haven't seen it. Still haven't seen it. Last week's, Connor. Brother? I watched the flyweight fight. Which we could be sad about that one.
Listen, we can be sad about that one, but I'm actually going to lean on the side. Flyweight unders are so back that we almost got an under in a Charles Johnson fight.
Twice.
Several times. Yeah, twice. I was going to say there was a couple times where I was like, oh, this might be it. This might be it.
That's the only fight I watched the full thing through. I had other obligations last weekend. I was off. But I tuned in and I was like, I mean, we got to check. We got to be here for this. Had it going on the phone and was like, oh my God. Charles Johnson almost gets knocked out immediately.
When it looked like it was about to end in the first round, I was having visions of grandeur. Like I was like really going to a dream place that I never should have gone to. Started counting the chickens. I was like, we are so fucking back. It's not even funny how back we are.
So back.
But then at like 2 minutes into the second round, I was like, this is going all 15. This is going all 15.
But I mean, even the second we get that, you know, he gets the back, he's got the choke under the chin and then just gives up all, like just quits on trying to choke him out.
At the end, the announcers are just whispering sweet nothings to me. They're like, oh, I think he was out for a nanosecond there. Why'd he give up on the choke? He was out. He was out. I'm like, oh my gosh. Just, this is just like, this is a cursed fight for flyweight hunters.
Charles Johnson is just the number one enemy of flyweight under nation, of flyweight understand, whatever we're calling the
nation
country.
Of flyweight understand. I mean, Maxim's not far behind him.
He's not in another performance like this, but oh, it was brutal. However, heavyweight overs are back, baby. I mean, they're just
I thought of you as that one was out. Never in doubt. Never
I didn't watch a second of it, but the internal slacks, I was so confident just checking the Slack and seeing, I was like, okay, this over's clearly hitting.
I'm actually not even going to lie with you right now. I watched the entire card, and I can't even remember what the heavyweight fight was. What was it?
Oh, the heavyweight fight was homeboy from Contender Series, Thomas Peterson.
Yes,
and,
first fight of the night. First fight of the night.
Yeah, we kicked the night off, you know, properly with 25 or 15 minutes of heavyweight action.
Everyone always likes to be like, oh, it's the cards that you least expect to like sneak up on you and be absolute bangers. This card I was not expecting to be good. This card was not good.
I got to say, I'm pretty happy I missed it. Hearing all the talk about it, I was like, okay.
Slanderous.
If I had to miss one.
Slanderous words from Jamal Hill about halfway through the card. He was just like, don't want to jinx there. He said like something like, y'all are sleeping. I think this is the card of the year. And I'm just like, what is this guy talking about? The main event.
There have only been three cards and they haven't been great, but
yeah. Yeah.
Imagine.
Main event was like, it was interesting. Like the first round was like, whoa, this is crazy. Then it was like a big time lull for 2.5 rounds. Then you get the head kick and it's like, oh, like Chris Curtis is going crazy. Is Dolidze going to just like take the DQ dub here or something? But man, Dolidze, not a good start for the month of Georgia. That was a rough performance for our guy.
Though we did get confirmation, Rocky Pennington, UGA fan. You did the research. I mean, you know, Georgia 1-1 this year. We'll see how that keeps going. How are you doing? How did you do last weekend? Because I got to tell you, Connor, I've yet to win, but I haven't lost. I've lost less than a unit combined of the three events. I've just like barely lost every week, but it's fucking with my morale, man.
Yeah, I lost a unit and a half. It really all just came down to Dober Moicano. The fact that went the distance, big flip on the script for the night for me. So that was unfortunate. Didn't expect Moicano to wrestle so heavily. Thought he would be a little bit more active chasing subs from the ground. There's just like, not a good night, but not a horrible night. Just kind of, it was a perfect betting night for what the card was. Like, it was just like, we got fights. I bet on them. I didn't win money. Pretty lackluster card.
That's been my whole 2024, though. And I don't think it's getting better this week. I don't like it. My whole 2024 has just been like,
I got faith. I got faith this week.
Whatever.
I got faith this week.
I will also say, last bit of thing. I know we hated it. I know we talked through it and it was unfortunate. ChatGPT is 1-0 in 2024 with the main event prediction of Nassourdine Imavov by decision. So just throwing it out there.
Great call by the bot.
That was a +300 on
I want to say Roman Dolidze was listening and was like, got to cash it for the bot. Because
might have been.
I mean, the toughness he displayed was next level. Just to survive the first round and then to survive everything else for the rest of that one. It was not a close affair. I don't want to say who it was because I can't remember whoever scored 47-47. Just all-time bad scorecard. That was not a competitive fight at all. 10-8 first round. Point deduction in the fourth. Should have canceled it out. Can't give that thing a draw. Cannot give that thing a draw.
I can't agree or disagree. Still, I haven't seen it. I will go back and watch that one since there was some shenanigans, and I'll probably watch the co-main because it's irrelevant. But maybe I'll watch Meatball Molly. It's just a first-round sub, so it won't take me too much. But
great performance buyer. That was that. We spent enough time recapping that. Let's move on to UFC Apex 86 back in the big old warehouse in the desert. And let's start with the main event. Middleweight main event. Can't get better than back-to-back middleweight main events. But this time We got our man Joey Pfeiffer taking on Jack Hermanson. Right now, Pfeiffer is the favorite and growing. Minus 250, Hermanson coming back at plus 205. You know I'm riding with my guy Joey P. I doubted him one time. I bet against him. Made me feel like an idiot. He came in studio for the MMA Hour. I actually mentioned, I was like, yeah, dude, I bet against you. And he was like, yeah, dude, you're an idiot. And I'm just like, yeah, all right. So we're just not going to bet against him any longer until he proves this otherwise. His commitment to the game, his commitment to continue to level up, his tenacity, his viciousness, the way that he goes about these fights, it's hard to bet against him at this point. And this is a big step up. I mean, Jack Hermanson is no slouch in there, man. Like, Jack Hermanson has been in there with some really talented dudes, and he's had some really good moments in the UFC. But I'm just going to trust in Joe Pfeiffer continuing to level up in his game. I trust that he hits like a truck. Dude is super powerful. We mentioned it off the top of the show. 12 wins, 11 coming by finish. I think like 8 of them are by knockout. And he's had some pretty vicious ones so far in the UFC. And that's not to say Hermanson has a bad chin or anything. But we have seen, you know, him get knocked out before by power punchers. And I think Pfeiffer falls in that range. I mean, Cannonier, Thiago Santos. I mean, Arn Vettori dropped him. So, like, it can be tested. I think over the course of the 5 rounds, I think Joe Pfeiffer gets it done. I think he's going to get the finish here and get his hand raised and continue to climb of being Joe Pfeiffer.
I mean, I agree with you. I will say I like this fight a little bit more after watching both of them. I was previously, I was just like, this kind of dumb, sort of a squash match. But I do think Jack Hermanson might have a little something to at least test Joe Pfeiffer, but this is sort of that perfect matchmaking of, hey, here's a dude, step up in competition, might make you show us some different things, flex some muscles you haven't had to before, but probably going to get the win. And then this win obviously going to move you into the top 15, top 10 of the UFC's rankings, and we can go from there. Great matchmaking. I would like to see some improvements out of Joe Pfeiffer. I expect he will, because like you said, he's constantly getting better. Still a little stiff at points in time, but the power is undeniable. I mean, this dude is just a physical force in there. The takedowns he was hitting on Abdulrazak Al-Hassan, that was who he fought last. Just throwing this grown man around like a small child. Punches like a truck. Jack Hermanson, get a little older, can be hit. I do think that he gets it done, but maybe he has to show us a little something. So I've got Joe Pfeiffer by KO plus 130.
Okay.
Good price on the by KO line here. So I just like that better than taking Joe Pfeiffer at minus 250 or whatever he's at right now.
There is a world where I'm going to get real curious. If this fight gets extended, if Jack Hermanson is, you know, giving Joe Pfeiffer something to think about, and, you know, say we're 1-1 going into the third round, say it gets extended to that extent, because Joe Pfeiffer fights do not last long. I mean, if you just go back and look at his
one resume, decision,
I was gonna say, I think he's only been to the third round in that fight that he went to a decision in 2018, which was his second professional fight. I mean, even if you look at his AMI career, 4 of the 5 and in the first round as well. If we're going into the third round and like it's like 1-1 here, it's just like this could get interesting, you know. Like, you got a veteran in there against a guy that we don't know how his cardio is going to go. We don't see him in a third round ever, and we definitely never see him in a fifth round. So it could get interesting, but I'm excited for this one. I'm excited anytime Joe Pfeiffer fights.
What's Joe Pfeiffer by, like, round one KO? I didn't even look at that. I bet you're not getting a great price on it, but
yeah, it's always weird to see these like just like barely in the plus money range. I'm seeing Joe Pfeiffer.
+425 is what I'm seeing. I mean, I'd just rather take 130 for the KO clean either way. So yeah.
I was going to say, I feel like that's there. A little zig when you zag moment. Go round two +650.
Round seems like that might be good, but
donate that.
Just take the plus money on the KO. I think if he wins, he's going to knock him out.
I obviously got I got Joe Pfeiffer parlayed last week, had him with Natalia Silva. Mm-hmm. She obviously won, so that moves on to this week.
She did the thing.
She did the thing, man. She looks cool doing it. She looks cool doing it.
Very, very good young talent right there.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Not much from Arujo on that one. I mean, a lot of stalling. I got Joe Pfeiffer. I actually parlayed the fight doesn't go to decision as well because it's a Joe Pfeiffer fight. because it's a Joe Pyfer fight. I think he's going to get the win, and I think he's going to get it via a finish.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's move on to the co-main event of the evening. Dan Ige taking on Andre Feely. Andre Feely coming in on short notice, just fought at 296 back in December, so a month and a half ago. And right now, 50K, your favorite, minus 166. Feely coming back at plus 140. This should be a fun one, man. You got any thoughts here?
I do think this is going to be a fun one. I have a bet down, and I'm not sure if I like the bet now that I've made it, but I don't feel bad about the bet.
I got no bet here, but I am looking forward to this one.
So I think this fight's going to be really fun. The bet I have is Dan Ige by decision at plus 150.
Okay.
I do think Dan Ige should be favored to win this fight. And when he wins, it has largely been by decision. I mean, he does mix it up. He's got submissions. He's got knockouts. Andre Feely is, in general, a very, very durable young man. I mean, he's also been finished a few times. But my issue here is I do have a little bit of concern just about how Feely has looked lately. I know that he's actually been doing, like, okay. He's won one, lost one for, like, the last little bit of his career. But, you know, fighting Nathaniel Wood, it's a bantamweight coming up, not, like, the biggest hitter in the world. Just – and Joe Anderson Brito gets him out of there. I'm not sure where his durability is at this stage of his career. And Dan Ige, like I said, can get finishes. So feel maybe I've exposed myself a little bit on the decision, but I do just largely think that Dan Ige should win this fight, because basically Dan Ige wins every fight where you don't take him down. Like, if you look at all of his losses, it's all just been dudes who have taken him down, not just once or twice, but like 7-8 times. Like, Movsar Evloev took him down like 6 times, whatever. Bryce Mitchell took him down like 100 times in that most recent fight. It's the ability to take him down and keep controlling him. And Andre Feely has not been using his wrestling a ton lately, and he's just not the same quality of wrestler. So
I'm actually glad that you said that about he's not using the wrestling lately. I think he has 2 takedowns in his last 6 fights. Yeah. And then in like the 2 fights before that, he had like 9 or 10 takedowns. He's been sticking with the striking more predominantly. And I really believe coming off a month and a half ago, a beautiful first round knockout, feels like he's going to stick with the game plan to strike. And Dan Ige is obviously going to be willing to engage with that. And I think Ige is going to have the success in that. I do think he's going to win this fight. And, the durability of Andre Feely. Let's talk about the durability of Dan Ige.
I mean, incredibly durable.
Been in there with some of the best of them, never been submitted, never been knocked out. Really, really durable dude. And I think Andre Feely hasn't had back-to-back wins by finish in like 10 years. I doubt that's going to happen here. So I feel like it would be on him to outpoint him. And I feel like he would have to use the wrestling to do that. And I'm not sure he is. So I do think Dan Ige gets this one done. I don't know if it's by decision or finish, though.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident in Dan Ige here. Just because, like you said, the short notice to he hasn't been going to the wrestling. And so 6 weeks, is that enough to like really fire back the wrestling gears to get to go? Maybe, but even so, he's never been that control grappler in the same way that like a Bryce Mitchell is or Movsar Evloev is. You know, we saw him have that against Charles Jourdain, but Charles Jourdain ain't Dan Ige, you know what I'm saying, brother?
And so, like, you talked about who he was getting taken down by. I mean, those names, Movsar Evloev, Bryce Mitchell, like that's the, when Dan Ige loses, it's two guys like that. Calvin
Josh
Caters,
Emmett. Josh, I think Josh Emmett. Emmett took him down a bunch too.
Yep, Korean Zombie. Like he's losing to very, very high ranked guys. And I'm not sure Andre Fili on short notice is going to be able to supply that level of competition for Dan Ige. So yeah.
I'm very sure that he will not. Like,
I'm kind of talking myself into a Dan Ige bet here. Kind of talking myself into it.
That's the thing. Like, I think a Dan Ige bet straight. That's why I said I don't, like, maybe I should just take him straight. It's minus 165 or whatever. You would kind of like a better price, but still, I actually, as I looked after I already input the bet and kind of thought about it more, I was just like, honestly, I should probably just have him straight because I think he's going to win. Like, I do feel pretty good about his chances to win, but, and if if Fili can just hold up, then I'll feel like a hero and a king for taking the by decision prop, but I've added some risks that I'm not sure was the wisest.
Yeah, I'm seeing a minus 163. I think I'm just going to hop in on that.
Don't hate it. Don't hate it at all.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to hop on that. Just to win a unit. Nothing crazy. Nothing crazy. But yeah, 50K. I'm in. All right, let's keep it rolling. On the main card here next up.
New fight.
Ihor Poatieria taking on Robert Brychek. Right now, our man Robbie is your favorite. Coming in at minus 198. Poatieria at plus 164. I mean, this is a slobber knocker. This is a slobber knocker if you want him. Brychek, dude's got one goal of late, and it's to come in here, and it is to knock you out. Five straight wins, all coming by first-round knockout, all in less than 3 minutes. I mean, eight of his last nine have ended by KO. He just comes in here, and he starts chucking them, and he is looking to get you iced out. And perfect dance partner, the duelist, Ihor Poatieria.
Loves to get knocked out.
Loves to get knocked out. Loves to fight crazy. I mean, he's a perfect dance partner here. I think this one's going to be short-lived. I think this one's going to be fun. And that's about it. Poatieria coming in on short notice, cutting down to 185. Don't know how much that's going to help him. I think someone's getting got here. Just as easy as that.
Yeah, I think it's more than likely Poatieria. He's coming in on what, like a 2 weeks, week and a half notice. I'm like, it is not a lot of time for him. Cutting down, new thing. Like, he's also bad. Like, he's not very good.
Not good.
Not that Brychek is good either, mind you.
I can't really speak to that. I mean, he's making his debut, yeah?
Yeah, but yeah. I went and found some tape on him. He's been nuking a bunch of guys.
I mean, it doesn't take long. I mean, you could watch his last five fights in like 7 minutes.
Yeah, doesn't take long. I'm probably going to do the same thing here. I briefly flirted with Brychek round one KO just for the gigs of it, but it's plus 165. Yeah. And I got to tell you, that just seems like a bad bet.
Yeah.
To get plus 165 on an exacto. With an opponent coming in on 5 days notice or whatever. That's not smart gambling. So this is a pass for me.
I took the under 1.5. Been struggling with my unders this year, but we're just going to keep banging the drum. I took under 1.5 at minus 220.
Shoot or shoot, baby.
Yeah, just keep spraying. I think this one's not going to last that long. Could be wrong. Could be wrong. This could be a scenario where they both just like gas out, but yeah, I don't know. Both these dudes are finishers. Both of them have been finished. So that's my thoughts. Let's keep it rolling on the main card. Brad Tavares taking on Gregory RoboCop Rodriguez. RoboCop, big favorite, minus 245. Brad Tavares, plus 200. This one should be fun as well. Your thoughts here?
I'm going Brad Tavares. I'm taking a little underdog shot here. I've only got two straight up plays. Brad's going to be one of them. I feel a little bad about it just because I like RoboCop. Who doesn't like RoboCop? Incredibly fun. I mean,
very fun.
Let me pull this up. He's won like 8 bonuses or something, just absolutely insane in his very short time in the UFC. Because he's always in there getting got. It's just terrific.
That's what he does. He is in there to either get you or to get himself got. That's the game plan.
You know, an accomplished BJJ player who just wants to stand up and chuck him for like half of his fights at least. He's everything you want in a fighter.
Class BJJ black belt that just wants to go in there and box his ass off.
Yeah, just what if we just play Rock'em Sock'em for a little bit and I don't use any of this jujitsu nonsense? And that has worked out for him. Historically, also, you know, that's how Bruno Fajeda sends you into the shadow realm. Fortunately, Brad Tavares is not really a guy who's sending fools to the shadow realm. But I do think Brad Tavares is just like exactly the sort of middleweight who is really hard to succeed and look good against. If you're not really careful, and Gregory Rodriguez, I think is not a very careful dude. Tavares is such a strong defensive wrestler that I don't even think RoboCop can get him down effectively. And on the feet, yeah, RoboCop's got more power, but Tavares, very, very durable dude. I think he's just going to kind of outwork RoboCop with a little bit, like a measured sort of functional game. It's going to be a real Brad Tavares performance in there. And as this fight gets a little longer, RoboCop, a lot of muscles, gets a little tired, gets a little slower. Plus 200. It's a good underdog price. Took it on Brad Tavares.
All right, so I'm actually on an underdog play here as well. It's the devil whispering in my ear of everything we just talked about. I'm getting a RoboCop fight at under 2.5, and I'm getting it at plus money. I had to take it, plus 110. I know Brad Tavares is durable. We all have watched the DDP fight. He has shown great durability. But he did also just get iced out by Bruno Silva. I think he's been knocked out 4 times in his career. Not the biggest finisher. I think it's been like 10 years since he got a knockout. No, 2018. So just 6 years. Just 6 years. I'm sorry for the disrespect there, Brad.
It's not a lot of them, though. Man does not have a lot of them on the resume. The under is hoping for RoboCop.
Before that, it was 2011. So, yes, 1 in the last 13 years. And he's had a lot of fights, folks. He has had a lot of fights. I mean, 17 of his 28 fights have gone to a decision. I'm just throwing a unit down on it. But, I mean, RoboCop is in there. And I'm hoping RoboCop does what RoboCop does. This is one that I feel like I'm going to know within the first half of the first round. I'm going to know whether this bad boy's going to hit or not.
Probably. I mean, there's always the back door that RoboCop just gasses himself out and then Tavares can get a TKO late in third, you know, like or late enough to still hit your under. But yeah, we're probably going to know early the direction this fight is taking.
The Brad Tavares KO numbers are always so wild to me that like he's only plus 400 to get a KO. And like by decision,
it's insane.
By decision, he's plus 450. The guy has had one knockout in the last 13 years. Like, why is that his favored route of victory here?
2 of his 15 UFC wins have been by finish.
Like, it's the dude.
This is outrageous.
The dude, 13 decision wins in the UFC.
He couldn't even finish Chris Weidman, who was clearly the most shot man of all time. And he couldn't get Chris Weidman out of there.
I'm setting myself up for a repeat of last week of why did I bet an under on the Charles Jourdain fight? Come Saturday when there's 4 minutes and 15 seconds left in the third round and like the under 2.5 is about to miss, I'm going to be like, why the fuck did I bet an under on a Brad Tavares fight?
But at least you know. At least you know coming in.
We're hoping for I'm getting plus money on an under in a RoboCop fight. I got to take it. I wasn't going to take it until I saw the number. I was honestly did they mean 1.5? But then I was like, it's Brad Tavares. All right, let's keep it rolling. Next up, we got Michael Johnson taking on Darius Flowers. Very closely lined fight. Right now, Michael Johnson minus 125, Darius Flowers plus 105. Yeah, dude, I feel like Michael Johnson is better than Darius Flowers.
That's a bold statement.
That's
really just going out on a limb there.
This is how I feel here. But on the flip side of that, man, Michael Johnson's pretty much 500 fighter, dude. He is 21 and 19. He is 37 years old, and he got put out last time. So do I want to bet him?
The answer, I hope, is no.
I didn't bet him. Okay. I didn't bet him. I put it in my bet slip and didn't pull the trigger on it. I was just like,
smart man.
I can't. I've been disappointed too many times back in Michael Johnson.
He's a smart man because, look, you nailed the breakdown of this fight. One, I support Michael Johnson. Had him against Mark Dottakeezy. It was a great bet.
It was a great bet.
I feel great about that bet. But yeah, Darius Flowers is not. I don't believe in Darius Flowers. Let's put it that way. Michael Johnson, better. Michael Johnson, much older. Michael Johnson, 500 fighter, fought a bunch of killers, just exclusively killers.
Sure. No doubt.
And lost as many times as he has won against exclusively killers. But 37 old, just don't be involved in this fight. There's no need, absolutely no need to be involved in this fight. You can just sit and watch and hope Michael Johnson can do something cool.
And you got him at upwards of plus 250 against Mark Diakasi.
It was terrific.
I backed him. Excuse me. I backed him last time against
CBF.
Yep. And it was underdog money. And man, he was looking good. He was looking good against Diego Ferreira until he wasn't.
He was looking good. The Michael Johnson story.
Honestly, that's what you call the 30 for 30.
He was looking good against Khabib. And then he wasn't. And then Khabib just forced him to tap out while talking to him.
The thing is, Darius Flowers, dude, a lot of wins by knockout. Feel like he's just going to throw caution to the wind. Yeah. Really thought about a Michael Johnson bet here. If it was like plus 150, I'd have to. But minus 125, that's just a bet that you look back on. Like I looked back on the Julija Stoliarenko bet last week and I was
what
you deserve betting minus money on these people.
I felt so dumb because I didn't even like, I wasn't there. And then I was like, we got talked into. I was like, okay. I laid favorite price.
Yep.
Julija Stoliarenko.
Yep. Yeah. I was going to get less than 100% ROI on taking two.
That's tough. Not what you're
I was many moments last week. I was like, why? Why
did silly I do bet this? I just made.
I was like, why did I do this? Why am I watching this? What am I doing with my life? That's what UFC Apex 85 did to me. Let's keep it rolling. Last fight on the main card. Rodolfo Vieira, the black belt hunter, taking on Armin Petrosian. Another very closely lined fight. You've got Armin Petrosian minus 105. Rodolfo Vieira minus 115. Striker versus grappler. About as plain as it gets. I mean, Armin Petrosian, 36% takedown defense. Doesn't put up much resistance on takedowns. Vieira, I mean, BJJ black belt, four-time world champion. I feel like if he gets a takedown, this thing could be over. I looked at Vieira first-round submission. Plus 375, but I don't know. I just don't know.
Oh, I just took Vieira straight minus 110. The UFC really likes to put Armin Petrosian in against just like top shelf grapplers. I'm not sure why, but I mean, Kyle Baraglio, Gregory Rodriguez, like they're just making him fight dudes who are gonna. I mean, AJ Dobson took him down a bunch. They're just making him fight dudes who are gonna grapple him. And to his credit, he's 4-1 against him, but I think this is just the Caio Baraglio fight all over again. I think Rodolfo is going to get those takedowns with ease. I think he's going to control Petrosian. So long as he doesn't gas out, I do think Rodolfo Vieira, this is just a tailor-made fight for him to look good. And all he's got to do is control the cardio, and I'm hoping he's smart enough to do that. And at minus 110, I don't like if I lose this bet, this is not a Julija Stoliarenko. What was I doing? Like,
you know
this,
why you took it.
Yeah. I feel great about the action, even if, you know, maybe the bet doesn't win. Still feel like I'm on the right side of it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's head to the prelims. Trevin Giles.
The prelims, Connor.
Love it. Love it. Officer Trevin Giles taking on Carlos Prates right now. Carlos, your sizable favorite, coming in at minus 258. Giles plus 210. Yeah, I don't have anything on this fight. Think Trevin Giles probably gets caught. Questionable durability. Carlos loves the strike. Got knockout power. Plus 105 on the KO prop. Not really that interested. So I'm just passing.
I have Carlos Prates in a parlay. It's a specialty parlay for me, myself, and I. I expect no one else to follow it, but Carlos Prates from the last season of Contender Series, one of the guys, I wrote up a breakdown for the site, kind of putting each of the guys who got signed in into a tiered bucket list, basically. And Carlos Prates was like the third tier for me. I called him a 3-and-D guy, just a guy who I think has enough ability to, you know, be a fun action fighter, hang around for a little bit, maybe won't ever be great, but can probably get some bonuses during his time in the UFC. Trevin Giles, questionable durability, like you said. I'm backing my boy from the Contender Series as one leg of a parlay.
Love it. Love a little Contender Series package as you see your children enter the real world. And make their UFC debut. Let's
got him. I didn't actually look at this. I think my Contender Series prospects are 3-1 this year. Tom Nolan being a big loss.
Big Tom Nolan didn't.
Big Tom did not do the thing. But otherwise, the guys I've thought have been good have mostly been doing well. So we'll see.
All right. Next up, Balaji Okai taking on Demir Hadzovic. And right now, Balaji, your favorite, coming in at minus 310, Demir plus 250. Again, I have nothing on this one. Don't really trust Okai that much at this price. And Demir is 37 years old, 1-3 in his last four. And he's not the most active fighter. So I'm just going to pass, man. Just gonna throw out the old stay away.
This is the other leg of the parlay because Balaji Okai is another 3-and-D guy from my Contender Series. Right up.
I was hoping.
You know, just two dudes who I think are going to be fun action fighters. Probably don't have like great, they're a little old, don't have great long-term prospects, but they can be fun. And they're being given pretty good matchups here to be fun against. So I got both of those. It ends up at minus 120. And then I may put both of them in a separate parlay. I haven't quite decided if I want to follow through on that one or not, but we can get to that in a little bit.
We sure can. Next up, a strawweight bout, Loma Lukbunmi taking on Bruna Brasil. And right now, Loma, minus 270, Bruna, plus 220. Looking at the matchup itself, I don't have a side. I think Loma Lukbunmi is the better fighter, but I mean, it is unranked women's MMA. The plus 220 underdog is going to be 5 inches taller and have a 4-inch reach advantage. Just saying. I think Loma can wrestle and get this done, but I don't have a side. I am on the over 1.5. I know you're thinking. I know immediately when I said that, you were like, but Loma finished Elise Reed under the 1.5 last time. Everyone, if you're driving your car, you just slammed on the brakes and you were like, but what Loma finished Elise Reed under the 1.5. What is he doing? But that was the first time one of her fights had gone under the 1.5 in the last 5 years. 9 of her 11 career fights have gone over. Bruna Brasil, 10 of her 13 career fights have gone over the 1.5. And like you said last week, women's MMA over 1.5, though it missed last week with Molly McCann, are pretty trusty, dusty parlay pieces. So I'm going to go with the over 1.5. Parlayed that with Joe Pyfer. Fight doesn't go to a decision. And then I got one more leg.
I thought about using that exact as a parlay, and then I was like, I don't really have anything I want to pair this with.
And so then you said, but Loma Lukbunmi finished Elise Reed under the 1.5.
It's So instead I said, you know what? Let's just take that over 2.5, baby. It's been a theme this year for me. I'm just going to keep riding it. Last year, across the three women's weight classes, over 50% of the fights ended up going to decision. The higher up in weight you got, the more likely it was that they went to decision.
That's so ridiculous.
Bantamweight had like a 60 or something percentage.
So ridiculous.
I'm going overs all year long with women's MMA fights unless I got a specific reason. And I got to tell you, Loma Lukbunmi, decision machine. We're going to forget about Elise Reed. Hopefully that's not the start of a trend.
Men in Black, erase it from your memory.
Yeah. Blind squirrel finds a finish every now and again. I think that's how the saying goes. So we are just going to assume that this clock is just right back on decision time.
Just a nice reminder, this ain't Elise Reed. This is Bruna Brasil.
That's right. So the over 2.5 minus 200. That's my final play of this card, except for a potential parlay leg down the line here.
Wow, I got a couple more. Let's go to Devin Clark, Marcin Prachnio right now. Brown Bear, your favorite, coming in at minus 218, Prachnio plus 180. I'm actually hesitantly, I am on Devin Clark, DC, Brown Bear. I took him at minus 185. Game plan simple here, big dog. Game plan simple. Let's just wrestle. Anytime Prachnio is getting wrestled, he seems to struggle. He seems to catch L's, and I think Devin Clark can do that. I mean, could he get knocked out? Yes, that wouldn't surprise me at all. I'm betting on Devin Clark. Kind of got to know what I'm up against here. But I think he knows the game plan to get this done. I was going back through some of Prachnio's fights. Dude has a win over Khalil Roundtree. And he's also been knocked out by Sam Alvey. What a world.
When you're in light heavyweight and you're not like a good one, a whole lot of opportunity, just a whole lot of weirdness can happen in that sort of middle ground at 205 and up. I obviously don't have a bet on this. Let me just say, Connor, that I think you're in trouble here because
I'm betting on Devin Clark at almost.
If I were just picking straight, I would take Devin Clark grudgingly. Okay. And I pulled up my Tapology, and I am bad at picking Devin Clark.
Wow.
It's just 9 fights that I have recorded picks in Tapology. I got six of them wrong.
Wow.
Six of them.
That's a number I can live with.
Incorrect.
That's a number I can live with. All right, I'll survive. You know, we're back in Brown Bear this week, and I think he gets it done.
It's just not for me. I wish you the best.
Lose money at minus odds on Julija Stolyarenko and Devin Clark back.
This does feel a little bit like a Stolyarenko.
It is a Stolyarenko bet. I mean, this is what it is. I mean, this is what we're stuck with on these down weeks. I got to get bets in. This is what I'm doing here.
Just chasing it for the funsies.
Yeah. Let's keep it rolling. Jeremiah Wells taking on Max Griffin. Max Griffin is the underdog in this one, but a lot of love for him. A lot of love for him out there. Now plus 130, Jeremiah Wells minus 155. I actually took Max Griffin last week at plus 170, but now I'm seeing so many people on him, I think he's going to be jinxed and Jeremiah Wells is going to win. But the reasons that I took him... very good durability for our man, Max Griffin. I don't think he's going to get knocked out here. He has good takedown defense. I think he keeps this thing standing. And I think he just gets the better of Wells. I mean, he's got 4 knockdowns in his last 5 fights. I'm envisioning the Semelsberger fight, except Jeremiah Wells doesn't have such an easy time getting it to the ground and controlling it for 4 minutes and 45 seconds each round after getting dropped. I think Max Griffin has success here. I think he gets to Andres.
I think that this is a reasonable bet, but I don't want any part of this fight. I don't. He beat Matthew Semelsberger, who we know I can never understand ever. So I can't, by that logic, I can't understand Jeremiah Wells. Is he good? Is he bad?
Were we both on Semelsberger that week?
I almost certainly was, because all I've done is lose money on Matthew Semelsberger.
The guy looked like Rocky in there for like 20 seconds each round, and then he just got controlled for the rest of the round. I'm actually just like, just for
I was definitely on him because that was the that was coming off the Jake Matthews fight when I was super high on Jake Matthews. I was like, oh, but Matthew Simmelsberger beat him just by being a physical force. This guy's going to be great. And then I'm never going to touch anyone who fought Matthew Simmelsberger. That's my new rule. Just avoid at all costs because he has tainted. He's tainted the goods. Can't bet on him.
Round one, Matthew Simmelsberger gets a knockdown, gets controlled for 3.5 minutes. Round two, gets a knockdown, gets controlled for 3 minutes and 9 seconds. Round three, no knockdown, got controlled for 4 minutes and 32 seconds.
And that's the Matthew Simmelsberger story right there.
There it is. Got the knockdown, didn't get the finish.
Got the knockdown, lost the fight.
Couldn't. Still waiting on that finish.
Lost the round.
Still waiting on that finish. All right. Let's keep it rolling. Next up, just a beauty of a fight. Zach Pauga taking on Bogdan Guskov. Right now, Zach Pauga, your favorite. Zach Pauga, a favorite in the UFC fight, minus 125. Bogdan Guskov coming back at plus 105. This fight is binary to me. It goes one of two ways. Guskov comes in, like it seems like he always does if you go back and watch his fights, and he just starts throwing the haymakers, getting after it, getting physical, forces Pauga to engage, and someone gets clipped. Or Pauga slows it down, makes it boring, pushes him on up against the cage, gets zero takedowns and has like 12 minutes of control time, and it goes to a decision. I mean, this dude took Jordan Wright, the Beverly Hills Ninja, who was just like the biggest moneymaker on taking his unders ever, took him all the way to a decision by just holding him up against the cage. Zero takedowns in that fight, 8.5 minutes of control time. But I'm gonna side with the former. I think Guskov's gonna dictate the pace on this one. I think he's physical enough. I think he's big enough to not accept just getting held against the fence. And I think he's gonna make Pauga engage. 16 of his 17 fights have finished under the 2.5. So I'm using that as a parlay piece to finish it off. This Lagboon me over 1.5. Main event doesn't go to a decision.
I almost bet on Guskov just because he looks like NoHo Hank from Barry. And that's enough for me to be like, yeah, I don't, sure. Why not? You know, let's why have not? A little fun on the prelims. And then I was like, then I'd have to watch a Zach Pauga fight. And again, well, I'm not watching this. I'm not working this weekend. So wow. I probably will not be watching
you're
this live.
The skips on the Apex fights. I love it.
I don't know. Well, I am working the Super Bowl. So I'd probably rather work the Apex than the Super Bowl off, but whatever. It's fine.
What are you even working on during the Super Bowl?
You know, you gotta be there. Who with Connor's at the Super Bowl, stuff happens. Just gotta be around. You know, I mean, I'm still gonna watch Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong, but you know, I can't be just absolutely shammered watching the Super Bowl. But in exchange for not having to watch Zach Pauga fight, I accept that trade. Accept that trade 9 times out of 10, my friend.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Haider Amil making his debut, taking on Fernie Garcia. Right now, Amil. Big favorite growing, minus 198, Garcia plus 164. I got nothing on this fight. Fernie's tough, but this is very short notice for him, like a week. He's also up a weight class. I feel Haider Amil gets it done, but minus 200 on a debutant. I'm just going to pass.
I think that's smart. Haider Amil also from the Contender Series. Yeah, he was in the Just Another Guy category. Just another guy. I'm debating whether I just want to do a all contender series dudes parlay and tag him in with Pritchett and Oki, but because that does at least bump the price, get up to plus 180 on the three leg. But and he should win. Like Fernie Garcia is coming in on 4 days notice or something insane. But I was not that impressed with Haider Amil on the contender series. You know, looks great. Like, great jawline. Got to respect that for the man. But
looks good getting off the bus, man. A shout out.
Looks good.
Good jawline will take you a long way in this life. I'll tell you that much.
Sastrudober.
You get a good jawline and a good hairline, you're pretty much unstoppable.
Probably unstoppable as far as Fernie Garcia goes, but I think it's smarter just to not put money on this man in these circumstances.
All right, last up, Daniel Marcos taking on Arici Lang. Right now, Daniel Marcos, favorite and growing, minus 245. Richie Lang, plus 200. The undefeated Peruvian is who I will be taking in this one. Took Daniel Marcos at minus 200. I really think this is going to be 15 minutes of striking. I know, like, Marcos didn't look that great last time out of it against Davy Grant. You can make the argument that he lost that fight. But I really do think this is just going to be a strictly striking affair, and I think he gets it done. Richie Lang, super hittable, is willing to take a few, to give a few. I'm going to trust in the durability of Marcos, and I think he's just going to outstrike him and outpoint him over the three rounds.
I think that's probably what's going to happen, but Richie Lang has a cool hat, and I've decided cool that hat. You should probably just cool not name. Bet against people with cool hats.
He's got a pretty cool name, too. I'm not going to lie.
Great name. Great name. If you haven't seen the hat, I mean, watch any of his fights he wears in the post-fight. It's not as cool as, like, you know, Khabib's Popka or Shavkat Rakhmonov's whatever that hat is. But
those guys have an aura to them, though.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a unique hat. It's bright blue. It's cool.
Nickname is the Mongolian Murderer, too. That's a pretty cool nickname.
That's a very cool nickname. And, you know, if you're just a guy with a cool hat, I am not going to want to bet against you. So, yeah, I think he probably loses, but the hat rule is in effect here.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's just smart capping right there.
That's how we do, baby.
Yeah, the hat is, not quite a Khabib or Khamzat level, but, I mean, it's an interesting one. It's perfect.
Still a unique hat.
Oh, it's incredibly unique. If one of my boys pulled up in this, I'd be like, what's up, man? Where'd we get this hat from?
More importantly, I've just learned enough that if I'm fighting a dude and he rolls up in a different unique hat, I've made a mistake. Somebody did not tell me appropriately, because 9 times out of 10, that fighter is some badass from the mountains of the Caucasus Mountain region or Uzbekistan or something, and I'm about to get my ass handed to me. We know enough about Richie Lang to know that that's not, like, necessary, but I'm just playing it safe.
He is from Inner Mongolia. I don't know why that just sounds...
That's all harsh. Sounds hard-nosed like people.
I was going to say, that sounds like a place that puts out some tough people.
Up on the steppe?
Oh, wow. I'm looking at some pictures. Yeah, it's just trees and snow. That's all I'm seeing. A couple cows. Wow. It's
like a nice wow, area. A couple cows.
This looks like a nice area that Richie Lang is from. Wow. I mean, we're talking about pastures, wide open pastures. A lot of cows here. I mean, this looks like the Windows background.
This might actually be the new way we should handicap, is just purely on Instagram photos.
This is actually just, I just Googled, I think this is Shilingol, Inner Mongolia.
Okay.
Yeah, man. I mean, we got wild horses. It really just looks like the Windows XP background. I mean, this is a great looking place. We've now looked up the homeland of Richie Lang, but I will be going with the Peruvian, Daniel Marcos. This actually got me a little bit curious here.
Peru got some mountains up in it too.
I was going to say, I kind of want to see where Sankora is from. Just Peru. He is fighting out of San Miguel.
Just Peru.
Which is in...
Peru's got some mountains, llamas,
waterfront. This is some waterfront area. Nice.
I'd say there's going to be a lot more waterfront in Peru than Mongolia.
Yeah. Yeah, this looks like a nice spot, though, too. Shout out. That is it. UFC Apex 86 is in the books. 2 Apex cards up, 2 Apex cards down. And that brings us to next week, Anaheim, California. The site of UFC 298. Cannot wait for this one. Cannot wait.
It's the first good card of the year.
Ooh, and it is a good one. It's a good one. It's kicking us off for a run of pay-per-views that are just going to be delectable, my friends. It is 298, 299, 300. Those are, we're getting treated. We are getting treated. I can tell you that much. The main event next week, Volkanovski versus Topuria, 11 out of 10. Can't get more excited for that one. Cannot wait. We'll break it all down. We'll talk about it. Poirier BSD too? Or is that 299?
No, that's 299. Oh. That's Miami.
What's the comment? Oh, Robert Whittaker, Paulo Costa. Yeesh. Correct. Sign me up.
Ian Gary coming back at it.
298.
Marab Cejudo.
Ooh. 298. We'll see you next week, folks.
Love you.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.